The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Josh Allen and the Bills clinched their first AFC East title in 25 years on Sunday. Next up, locking up the conference's number two seed. They look to sweep the Patriots for the first time since the 1999 season. And I'll tell you, Monday Night Football, Bills, Patriots, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ESPN and ABC, ESPN Deportes, and the app. Our coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6. And we say hello to you on a Monday. Thank you for joining us today on Get Up, coming from you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Got Rex Ryan here, RC and Dan joining us as well. But let's get you right to the show, and we say good morning. It is time to get up with Aaron Rodgers rolling in the snow. Are the Packers now the team to beat in the NFC? Plus, Pittsburgh's improbable comeback. How much should we trust Big Ben and the Steelers after turning it around against the Colts? And we ask, who saw this coming? Will the Cowboys win the NFC East? And the big question becomes, what will happen if they do? And thank you for joining us today again on Get Up. And we start with the statement of the night. And it was a big one from Green Bay. The Packers hosting the Titans. There's Ben Jones walking onto the field barefoot to honor his brother. And Aaron Rodgers had it rolling, had some fun in the snow. Second quarter, Packers up 6-0. Third and one, Equanimeous St. Brown grabs the touchdown. Packers cruising early as they go up 12-0. But Ryan Tannehill, he was on it in the beginning. Watch this. No, wasn't on it there, but he was on it later. Darnell Savage returns it, and you see a Packers slide in the snow as Tannehill lets out that frustration early on. But don't worry, you'll see him later. Packers ensuing possession. Rodgers throws the fade to Devontae Adams in the corner of the end zone for the touchdown. Great game by Adams, Dan.
Him and Aaron Rodgers were in absolute lockstep. You saw it in the red zone. That fade was thrown perfectly. And then Ryan Tannehill does an outstanding job here, Ryan, and moving from the pocket, finding Jonnu Smith for a touchdown. Tennessee finally on the board.
Yep, cut that deficit 19-7. Next Packers possession. No, actually, it's Tannehill right there. He makes it happen with his legs. Steps up and steps in for the touchdown. And the Titans making this a game. And then he's all smiles. That frown was gone. But then this happened. Ensuing Packers drive. Aaron Jones bounces off to the side. Now, just keep this in mind. He runs it on all the way to the 7-yard line for a 59-yard gain. But you take a closer look at this play, Dan, and something very big was missed.
Yeah, right. Well, first of all, no one gets a closer look than the official at the bottom of the screen who's staring right at the out-of-bounds marker. Oh. And Aaron Jones steps out in front of him. And second of all, someone in the press box has to get down to Mike Vrabel, challenge that he stepped out of bounds.
Unbelievable. And you know what? Aaron Rodgers makes you play. He finds, guess who? Devontae Adams, third touchdown of the game. What a game for him. Packers, 26-14. Next Packers possession, same score, A.J. Dillon bounces through the hole right there, 30-yard touchdown. Packers seal it, A.J. Dillon, Lambeau leap, not quite, not when there's nobody there. Well, not a lot of people there, 14, Rodgers taking this one. And Rodgers and Devontae Adams have connected for 17 touchdowns this season, the most between a quarterback and a wide receiver over the last 10 seasons. Adams is also one receiving touchdown away from tying Sterling Sharp for the Packers' single-season record set back in 1994. That is how well that combination is playing. And, Rex, it makes me think, how well is Aaron Rodgers playing? What are you seeing in him?
Look, I've seen Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he torched me many a time. But I don't know if I've seen him play better. And that's crazy. As old as he is, how the heck can I make that statement? I'm just telling you, he has been unreal. And his connection, the Devontae Adams, it is sick. Like, it's just best duo, I think, in the National Football League. But you know who I was more impressed by the running game of the Packers than just Aaron Rodgers. He was brilliant, but the running game was terrific. And then their defense. Their defense is starting to peak at the right time. And then you got to go all the way. You got to go into Lambeau Field. and beat this team in the playoffs? I don't see anybody doing it. I don't. So this team to me right here, man, at the right time, they're the number one seed in the NFC for a reason. They're playing better than any team in the NFC.
And, Dan, I again, Aaron Rodgers, I just have to ask the question. Is this the best quarter? Let me not say it that way. Excuse me. Back up. Is he the MVP?
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers locked up the MVP last night. I mean, the performance that he had was spectacular. No, Ry. So week one, the Packers played the Minnesota Vikings. And I remember doing a touchscreen breakdown on Aaron Rodgers and making the comment, listen, he's playing better than he has in the last 5 years. This plays a perfect example. Double post. He's going to turn into a go route at the bottom of the screen by Devontae Adams. And Rodgers is peeking at it like, okay, I want to throw that ball, but Adams doesn't win. So I love the secondary plan. Okay, if he doesn't win, that safety's going to go over the top. Let me find that crosser and that beautiful touch throw to Equanimeous St. Brown. Like, that's why he's got such confidence with the football. The plan at the line of scrimmage, but then the secondary plan. And I said it in week one that that was the best I had seen Aaron Rodgers in 5 years. I've seen every snap of Aaron Rodgers' career. We were drafted the same year. He went a little bit earlier than I did in the draft, and our careers have been just a little bit different, okay?
Just a tiny bit.
But he's one of my favorite players ever to watch. This is the best football I've ever seen him play.
They were very similar, by
the way. Okay? It's the best football I've ever seen Aaron Rodgers play. He's the MVP. Shout out to the best weapon at ESPN, Paul Hembekidis, right? He sent me this note. And it kind of blows my mind. In the last 5 games, Rodgers has got 15 touchdown passes. He's got 11 misses. He's got 15 touchdown passes and 11 missed throws in the last 5 games in the NFL. He's playing at a different level than he ever has. And he's playing just as good as Patrick Mahomes ever has in his career.
RC, weigh in. What do you think about the way he is playing and whether or not he's the MVP right now? I mean, he's not Dan Orlovsky-type talent, even though they were drafted really closely together.
Yeah.
But what do you think about him in terms of the MVP conversation?
It's very difficult, but I think he is the MVP. I mean, now I was around for some of them games in 2010 and 2011. Yeah. That Aaron Rodgers, amazing. And that dude was different. You know, that dude threw 40-yard balls down the sideline that got about 6 feet off the ground, and you couldn't touch it. And so, you know, so there are some of those things where I look at it and you see that he's aged. What I will say about Aaron Rodgers, I've never seen him play so comfortably.
Yes.
Right? I've never watched a quarterback in more command of his offense, a quarterback that feels like he could do whatever he needs to do with the football whenever it needs to be done. And when you see Aaron Rodgers run for 14 yards and get a first down and he gets up and he's looking at the dude that tackled him with that little smirk on his face, knowing that the scotch is going to be a little different after this blowout win, that's the dude that scares you. The dude that's actually having fun playing football, dicing you up, making all the right decisions, and knowing exactly where the football needs to be each and every play. That's who we're getting. And we're getting that with the run game and the defense that's improving. And that's why this is the best team in the NFC headed into the playoffs.
Right. Can I make this point? Because here, and I said this in the 8 o'clock hour.
Real quick, because you got to go.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know how many teams can make the claim of having a quarterback who's playing the best, a wide receiver who's playing the best, an offensive line who's playing the best, and a coach who's one of the best with the play call and play design. Like, that's a very real thing to be said about Green Bay, and there's not a lot of teams that can be into that conversation that can say that.
Yeah, unbelievable the way this team is playing as a whole. Let's go on the clock. I want to get right to this. 30 seconds each. RC, I start with you. What should we take away from the Chiefs squeaking by the Falcons?
Nothing. Y'all always trying to take away something.
Right?
Oh, let's do a show.
Take away.
The Chiefs barely won. They had three dudes spin around in the backfield. Then they did some type of naked pitch, and it didn't work. So they just keep winning. Now, if the defense would have given up 40 points and you lose to the Atlanta Falcons, you're scared. But you're never scared that the Chiefs won't score enough. You're never scared that Patrick Mahomes won't play well enough, because all they've done is play well enough to win 14 of the 15 games that have been scheduled. So they play down a little bit. I don't care. They're still the best team in football.
All right, Rex, which non-division winner is the scariest team in the playoffs?
Yeah, Ryan, this is easy for me. It's the Baltimore Ravens right here, man. Lamar Jackson, I'm sorry, but when Lamar's playing like this, it's unreal. I mean, Baltimore now, like, they can run the ball better than any team in the league. This rookie running back, Dobbins, has been amazing. And then when Lamar's got that thing running, he can dial up Hollywood Brown. He can dial up those tight ends. Dez Bryant now shows up in the red zone. I love the way Baltimore is playing right now. And their defense, we can say what we want, but their defense is about as good as it gets in the league.
Yeah, it's really good right now. And, Dan, we talked a little bit about Dwayne Haskins a little earlier. Is his career already effectively over?
Yes. His career is on the verge of being over in the NFL. You get labeled really early on as a player in the NFL, both on the field and off the field. On the field right now that we know is just not good enough. Doesn't play good enough consistent football at the quarterback position. But off the field, it's worse. You're being labeled as a poor teammate, unprepared, bad study habits, selfish, lack of leadership. So Dwayne Haskins right now needs to get a very clear grasp of what this opportunity is to play quarterback in the NFL, because it's on the verge of being taken away from him very quickly.
And, you know, you don't wish anybody ill. You certainly hope he can right the ship. If not here, then somewhere, we shall see. Now, let's talk about over the past few weeks, we've heard a lot of folks say the Steelers will be one and done in the playoffs. Did anything that happened yesterday change that? The answer is coming up next. And the playoffs are anything but a sure thing for Baker and the Browns. Does missing the playoffs mean the season would be a failure for Cleveland?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Get Up, and we're talking about the upset of the day. Browns, Jets, Baker Mayfield and the Browns. It was kind of a bit of a must-win looking to get to that playoff spot against the Jets. Late in the first quarter, Jets down 3-0, and then that happens. Look at that trickeration. Jamison Crowder tossing it. Right there, Braxton Berrios with a touchdown, 7-3. First play of the second quarter, Mayfield and the Browns. Mayfield drops back, and then boom. And Dan, it was that kind of day for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, right. First and 10 on your side of the field, play action pass. Just continue to get the ball out of your hands. Know that the only way you can lose this football game is to turn it over.
Yep, and then the Jets got it back, 3rd and 5 from the Browns 11, and Darnold to Chris Herndon, a touchdown. They missed the extra point, but they were up 13-3. Now we go to the fourth quarter. This is where it got a little interesting. Same score, first and goal, Mayfield to Kareem Hunt, the running game, putting it in, getting the touchdown. Browns missed the extra point, now 20-16. Under 4 minutes to go, same score, 3rd and 6 for the Browns. He drops back. Drifts right, stepping up in the pocket, and then boom. And it was just, again, the ball handling was an issue here, Dan.
Yeah, again, another poor mistake by Baker Mayfield. Punt that football away. Do not give it to the Jets on your side of the field. I love this completion on 3rd and long to Hooper to try to get a chance for this 4th and 1 quarterback sneak.
But this is where it all kind of fell apart. Mayfield trying that quarterback sneak. Fumbling it as he gets there. Kareem Hunt recovering it, but here's the thing. Only Mayfield can advance the ball on 4th down once it's fumbled. Browns turn it over on downs. Tough loss for the Browns. Jets win it 23-16. You see the frustration on his face. Now, the Browns will clinch a playoff berth with a win over the Steelers on Sunday, and their next best scenario would be a Colts loss. ESPN's FPI gives the Browns the lowest chance to make the playoffs among 10-5 teams in the AFC. This is where these Cleveland Browns are right now. So, Dan, I ask you, is the season a failure if the Browns don't make the playoffs?
No, it's not a failure. It would be disappointing, but it's not a failure. I think three things stand out for this season. First of all, the Browns in the 3 seasons before they got Baker Mayfield had 4 wins, okay? Combined in those 3 seasons. They got 10 this year already with a chance to get to the playoffs. You want to get to the playoffs, but the 2 big questions have been answered. Do we have our quarterback for the future? Yes, Baker Mayfield has proven both on and off the field that he is your quarterback for the future. Do we have our coach for the future? Kevin Stefanski has proved that. Those have been the two biggest questions since really this organization came back. Who is going to be our long-term coach and who's going to be our long-term quarterback? That in and of itself is a success. I understand you want to make the playoffs, and I think that they got a chance to win next week. But with those questions answered, that gives you hope for the future of consistency. That gives you a future that you can believe in rather than just a season. I know Browns fans want the playoffs. I want them too. I've been pulling them for you guys for 2 years now. But at the end of the day, those two questions being answered gives you a great belief that you'll be a good organization for the long term.
RC, what do you think?
One, I'm never pulling for the Browns. I am not like Dan. I haven't been pulling for the Browns for the last 2 years. I've never pulled for the Browns, and I will not. That is not something that I'm obligated to do per my job at ESPN. Now, on the other side of it, only one team truly succeeds, right? I played 13 years in the NFL. I had one successful season. That was 2008. 2009, we won the Super Bowl. The rest of us are all failures. The other 31 teams have failed because the goal is that one thing. But when you look at the season for the Cleveland Browns and for Baker Mayfield and for Kevin Stefanski, there were certain things that you needed to find out, and you found those things out. There were certain things that you needed to do, and you did that. You won 10 games. You established the way that you will not only move forward with Baker Mayfield, but the type of team you need to be with him as your quarterback, which I think is just as important. You know, if you surround him with protection, if you give him a run game, that he can make the throws and also get hot and carry you to wins on some days. That was something we didn't know coming into this season. The other thing is, this is a playoff caliber team. Mm-hmm. This is a playoff level team, and that Cleveland can be that moving forward. Are you disappointed if you don't make the playoffs? Absolutely. But are you encouraged by what you've seen in 2020? You certainly are. And the Cleveland Browns are a team on the rise.
Yeah, it's hard not to be encouraged. Yeah. But what do you think? Are they a failure?
I mean, I agree with everything those two have said about how, you know, shoot, it's not a failure, but it sure as hell feels like a failure. I mean, when you haven't been in the playoffs for 18 years, and all you got to do is beat the Jets, and you come up empty,
I'm just telling you, dude,
like, that's what kills me. And here's the thing. Our superstars failed us. Baker Mayfield with the turnovers, but not just him. Kevin Stefanski failed in this, and I'm going to tell you why I say that. Number one, focus on what you have, not what you didn't have, and I think that's where the mistake is. I would have run the ball until the cows come home. I don't care. They're stuffing you, they're stuffing you. I don't care. We're going to run the ball until we get a first down. I swear, I've said that before. That's how you win this game. I don't care if you run it 20 times, don't have a first down. Keep pounding that rock. That's what you had in that game. And by the way, the one thing you didn't have was your left tackle. How about a little chip over there and protect the backside?
There you go. Rex, run the ball, Ryan. That's how it is, right?
That's it.
That's the way to do it. All right. Well, coming up, improbably, the Cowboys are in position to potentially win the NFC East. But could a division title actually be a bad thing for Dallas? We'll explain when we come back.
Delicious, meet nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back with you on Get Up, and let's get to some eye candy. Justin Herbert balling out, setting rookie passing touchdown record, throwing his 28th on the season against the Broncos. Rex, what do you think about
that? Yeah, that's my guy right there. My goodness. I mean, look, broke the rookie record. Baker Mayfield was so proud of that record. We dismiss it because Herbert did it. But this kid, this is a future MVP, in my opinion.
The real deal. And I'll tell you what, doing it with a game left, not bad. Coming up, did one big half change the narrative on Big Ben and the Steelers? Are they back and are they dangerous?
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Welcome back to Get Up, and we start with the comeback of the day, and it was a big one. The Steelers, their offense anemic, but boy, did they play on Sunday against the Colts. Early on, though, the offense out of sync. Check out Ben Roethlisberger. Missing Deontay Johnson there, later down 7-0. Benny Snell can't get anything going. Later in the second, Ben Roethlisberger again finds Johnson getting stopped at the line. And it just seemed, Dan, like the Colts had their number.
Yeah, early on, this short passing game was not working for the Steelers. And then Indianapolis does a great job of taking their shot. It's beautiful protection against the blitz. Safety cuts the crosser. Zach Pascal with that post. A great throw from Phillip Rivers.
So the way the Colts have been playing this year and the way the Pittsburgh Steelers have been playing recently, it felt like this game was over at halftime. But wait, just over 3 minutes left in the third. Steelers down 24-7. Roethlisberger to Johnson. And Rex, you talked about how this was a big change you saw right there.
It changed the complete momentum of this game, and it put everything in the Steelers' favor at that point.
And then first play of the fourth, and you watch it right there. Johnson again. Colts get called for interference. 21-yard penalty. Next play. Roethlisberger. Oh, no, this is the Connor play, which
run.
I really like. Yeah.
No wonder
this is the Connor play right there. And that's
that
a good
run come from.
I know, because you don't see it from the Steelers these days, I tell you. And then the long pass to Juju for the touchdown. Nice grab. And I'll tell you, Dan, this team came ready to play in the second half.
Yeah, it was a beautiful job of the second half of them making a great comeback, and it started with their offensive line.
All right, Rivers and the Colts back for one last drive. Fourth and six, and no. Dice right there. Fired it to Pascal for an incomplete. Right, that was the penalty play. And then there was this. That was the Pascal incomplete that basically ended the game. And you can call it right there. Steelers winners. Roethlisberger happy. 28-24 over the Colts. Tomlin thrilled. And this Steelers team tripled their offensive production from the first to the second half. And they totaled 260 yards and three touchdowns. Big Ben accounted for 244 of those yards through the air. That's his most in the second half since November of 2018. And Dan, what did you see? You put some tape together on this. Show us how Big Ben turned it around in the second half.
Yeah, right. Listen, great offense, great quarterback play really is about like a great fighter, right? You take your shot at some point to try to end the match. And that's exactly what the Steelers did with Big Ben to Juju Smith-Schuster in the fourth quarter to complete the comeback. So first of all, I love the fact that when they're going to take their shot, they go max protection. They keep their tight end in, and then they're going to keep their tailback in. That's seven guys in protection versus a four-man rush, right? Here, we're going to take our shot. We want to make sure that we have the chance to get the ball off. And I always say this about quarterback play. You get to the line of scrimmage. Know that a defense always gives you a problem, but always gives you an opportunity to go to attack. Now, what's the defense that the Colts are in? The Colts are going to be in a defense known as cover six. It's cover two and cover four together. This is the cover two side. Corner, you've got that flat area. Safety, you've got half the field. Now the other side, it's cover four. You've got a quarter of the field, and you've got a quarter of the field. And we're really going to focus on this safety. This cover four safety is going to have vision on guys that come into his area. If somebody comes into his cover four, his zone, it really becomes like a man type of concept. He's an ultra-aggressive player. Now, what do the Steelers do to attack it? The Steelers are going to take this receiver and going to run him on a wrap in, right in front of that safety's vision, right? And then they're going to take Juju Smith-Schuster and just try to leak him behind that safety. So they're going to try to take advantage with their shot of an aggressive defense, all right? Now watch what Big Ben does. He does three things really well to really make this play happen. First of all, you're going to see a little bit of a vision, right? He's staring right this side. He's staring right at that receiver because he knows that safety's going to be looking at him. Looking at the safety. That safety's going, all right, Big Ben, I got eyes on you. I only have one receiver to my side. That tight end is blocking. I can be very aggressive right now as that wrap in comes in. That's number one. Number two, look at the pump fake from Big Ben. Big Ben's like, I know exactly what defense you're in. I'm going to pump you as the safety and know that you're going to be aggressive. Look how aggressive this safety is right now. He's starting to drive that in route. The third thing I love about this is this. Look at the protection. That protection is beautiful. You give that guy, the Hall of Famer, that kind of protection, it's going to work out. And this is the difference. Pump fake, vision, protection. Big Ben knows. I've got Juju Smith-Schuster. There's that safety. That safety, that ultra was ultra aggressive. He's left in no man's land. I'm going to throw with touch to a spot to Juju for the game winner. The Steelers have not been great on offense this year, but when they needed it most, they took their shot with their Hall of Fame quarterback, and he executed perfectly, and it saves their season.
And it really could be a sign of things to come. Great job there, Dan. Rex, what's your biggest takeaway from the Steelers' comeback win over the Colts?
First off, gutty performance. I mean, amazing performance. When I thought they were dead, the way they played that first half, I'm like, they can't beat anybody. I mean, I thought they were going to win, they lose their fourth game in a row. And, it was ridiculous. But, man, oh, man, did it flip, Ryan. On that pass, coming out of half, Ben hits that pass to Johnson, makes a great diving catch. From that point on, the game changed. But moving forward, I'm really concerned with this team. The Pittsburgh Steelers ran for 20 total yards? Like, that's ridiculous. This is not the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I know you got to get over yourself. This isn't the same old Steelers. You're right. You're right. It's not. It is not the same old Steelers, because the same old Steelers would have buried the Indianapolis Colts and pounded them into the dirt instead of being fortunate to win a game. So they got to find a way to move the football. You have to be able to have the ability to do both, run the football and pass the football.
RC, what do you think?
You know, I think I'm happy that they won. I mean, I was tired of seeing what you saw in the second halves of game against the Washington football team, the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals. You wanted to see a little championship medal, and I think Dan hit it on the head. Their future Hall of Fame quarterback got some protection. Now, does that carry over? Mm-hmm. Can you invert the line of scrimmage and create a run game? Can you continue to keep Ben Roethlisberger clean? I think the one thing we learned is they have to take shots. Mm-hmm. The dink and dunk, yeah, that's fine, and that's a way to kind of create a running game, but you got to take shots. And what started to fail this team was their wide receivers. Deontay Johnson had drops. Eric Ebron had drops. What we saw in the second half was those guys making plays for their quarterback, and it's all going to revolve around seven. I believe that they place too much on his shoulder.
Oh, looks like we have a issue right there with Ryan's feed, but I tell you, he makes a great point. This was a team that solved the drops from the first half,
yeah,
and they really took it over in the second half. And maybe we'll see that team in the playoffs. Now, we talk about the good and the bad with the Steelers. Let's talk about the ugly, the NFC East. Start with the Ravens jumping out to a early 14-0 lead on the Giants. They didn't look back, cruising to a 27-13 win over New York. And after being fined earlier in the week, Dwayne Haskins had three turnovers for Washington and was benched as the Panthers won 20-13. And then Andy Dalton threw for 377 yards, three touchdowns, as the Cowboys cruised over the Eagles to remain alive in the NFC East race and eliminate Philadelphia. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Three teams still alive for the NFC East title, with Washington winning it if they can beat the Eagles on Sunday. The winner of the Cowboys-Giants game could also punch their ticket to the postseason if Washington were to lose. So, I want to talk about these two. You look at this division, and it's a mess. But I want to start just quickly by talking about the Cowboys, because they have a real shot here to win this division, Rex.
Yeah.
And if they do, if they win this division, what does next year look like for these Cowboys?
Well, I think what Jerry Jones would do simply is, we're going to get our franchise quarterback, you know, under contract. So we got to get Dak Prescott back, and everything will be fine. I mean, let's face it. They have an amazing group of receivers. They really do. And so they have that talent there. Offensively, they'll be fine. They got to get healthy in that offensive line. They'll be fine moving forward. But they got to do something on defense, because this defense is garbage. So they have to do something. I think Jerry Jones will do something schematically, maybe in the coaching staff. But they have to improve that defense.
Yeah, sometimes when you make the playoffs, you say, we have a playoff team. Yeah. We're good. Let's run it back. Sounds like you're saying Dallas can't do that. A lot of people feel the way you do. Now, we're trying to get Ryan Clark back. But, Dan, I want to get to you first. You know, just briefly talk about the Eagles here. Hurts had a tough game. I mean, he didn't have a bad game, but he had a tough game. So now this team is 4-10-1. They're on the outside looking in. What happens with the quarterback situation now in Philly?
Listen, the quarterback situation in Philadelphia, when it's tied to Carson Wentz, isn't tied to the performance of just Jalen Hurts, right? Everyone thought, okay, we're going to make the quarterback switch and everything will get better. They're 1-2 in the three games that he's started. And their one win was against a guy that was Taysom Hill when he turned the football over three times. And his quarterback play has been better than what Carson was given them this year. So it speaks to the reality. It's not a great football team. I have said this. I do not think that you can have Carson Wentz in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts in the same room. I don't believe it's going to be a competitive quarterback room. I believe it would be combative. It would not be a healthy situation. What do you do as the head coach? Does Doug Peterson want to coach Carson Wentz, or does he want to coach Jalen Hurts? Is he going to come back? So the question or the future of Carson Wentz isn't tied strictly to the performance of Jalen Hurts. I will say this. It was interesting to watch how Dallas played. Dallas dropped into coverage, and then they had somebody spy Jalen Hurts. When Jalen Hurts hit his back foot in his drop, that spy committed to going after him. And when he broke the pocket, sometimes he wasn't even allowed to by the spy. And then when he did, it wasn't a clean vision. And the performance wasn't as dominant or wasn't as impressive as it was his first two starts. So the Eagles have some questions to answer. They got big questions to answer, and it will 100% start with, what do they do with Carson Wentz?
All right, so Ryan Clark's back with us. Ryan Clark, maybe you can answer that question. What do they do with Carson Wentz?
Well, Ryan Smith, since you want to use my whole government.
Yeah, we say.
I had to. Because you're back. I'm reintroducing you. That's how it works. That's my job.
Hey, man,
for the audience,
Ryan's back with us. Hey, you know, listen, I think you got to keep Carson Wentz. This is a very small sample size of what we've seen of Jalen Hurts. And I think some of the questions that kept Jalen Hurts on the sidelines so long while Carson Wentz was struggling are going to continue to prevail in the minds of Doug Peterson, in the minds of Howie Roseman and this team. And so now looking at going forward, I don't know if you've had enough of Jalen Hurts being successful to say that he's your quarterback of the future. I believe Doug Peterson when he said this was going to be week to week, because I felt like he still had certain questions, and obviously he plays well in the first half. The second half, you see the turnovers in Dallas Cowboy territory. Those are things that are concerning, because if you're not going to have a quarterback that protects the ball better than Carson Wentz, you're then going to look to the skill set and some of the things that Carson Wentz has shown you in some of his MVP caliber play and say, man, maybe we could get him back there. I think not having great performances by Jalen Hurts just muddies the water and makes this a much more difficult decision for Doug Peterson and the Philadelphia Eagles.
See, I agree with you. It is not a done deal what happens with these quarterbacks in Philadelphia. Thank you, RC. Much appreciated.
Thank you. Much better.
All right, let's get up and go with some blockbuster stories from around sports. And we start with this blockbuster trade, by the way. Sources tell our Jeff Passan that the Rays are finalizing a trade, sending former Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell to the Padres for a bunch of prospects. Snell helped lead the Rays to the World Series this past season. And a big upset in the NBA. Julius Randle had 29 points as the Knicks dominated Giannis and the Bucks, 130-110. It was Tom Thibodeau's first victory as a Knicks head coach. The Bucks fell to 1-2 on the season. And Zion Williamson didn't shoot well, and it didn't seem to matter for the Pelicans. Zion was 7-for-22 from the field, finished with 18 points, but the Pelicans beat the Spurs 98-95. Well, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and they all led their teams to impressive wins this week. The question is, which of them is the class of the NFC? We will discuss when we come back.
4 days to the college football playoff semifinals, New Year's Day on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Wednesday, we'll have the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Sam Hartman leads the fast-paced, high-powered Wake Forest offense against 3-3 Wisconsin. Badgers redshirt freshman quarterback Graham Mertz will start this one. Noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central on ESPN and the app. And welcome back to Get Up. We are commercial-free until First Take starts in about 12 minutes. So we got a lot of football and a lot more to talk about today. By the way, coming up on First Take, great show coming there. Will the Chiefs have an easy road to the Super Bowl? And who needs the number one seed more in the NFC? The Packers, the Saints, or the Seahawks? Ryan Clark joins Dominic Foxworth and Charlie Arnold, and that's coming up next. But we talk about the Rams and the Seahawks. This one was a good one. Rams on the road against the Seahawks. Seahawks trying to clinch the division with a win. Under 4 minutes to go. Rams up 6-3. Rams first and 10 on the 29, and Jared Goff rolls right, overthrows it, and that happens. And, you know, Rex, it was that kind of day for Jared Goff.
Yeah, it was. He was Goffle yesterday, and then I was saddled him with that nickname, and you throw the ball like that, you deserve that nickname.
First drive, first Seattle drive of the second half, first to go on the four. Russell Wilson, watch him. Can't find anybody open, so what does he do? Keeps it himself, runs it in for the touchdown. You know who loves that? More than almost anybody. Pete Carroll fired up. Seattle up 13-6, ensuing Rams drive. Rams going for it on fourth and goal from the one. Malcolm Brown gets the handoff, and short of the goal line, Seattle's defense forces a turnover on downs. Next Rams drive, 3rd and 7 on the Seattle 42. Goff competes this to Gerald Everett for the first down. So that happened, and Dan, this is critical right there.
Yeah, I've had this happen. It's incredibly painful. You slam your knuckle onto that defender's helmet. That thing pops out. Tough guy popped it back in on the field. Jared Goff's going to have some issues with that thumb.
Yeah, under 3 minutes in the fourth. Seahawks in the red zone, 13-9. Wilson drops back. Jacob Hollister with the touchdown. 13 yards for the score. Seattle would hold on for the 20-9 victory. Big win right there for Seattle. And I look at this, and Dan, I wonder, what is there to say about Jared Goff's performance yesterday?
It's holding the football team back. You know, it's a Super Bowl caliber defense. One of the best defenses we've probably seen in the NFL over the past couple of years. Just play to play to play. They're really, really, really good. And Jared Goff is a guy that, he's had some streaky moments this year where he's looked absolutely spectacular. But the mistakes are hurting the football team. The careless mistakes with the football, the trying to do too much with the football, the taking the points off the board with the football mistakes are hurting. And when you have a defense that is that good, you can't make those mistakes that force your defense to be, one, backed up into their own area, or two, you take points off the board. So Jared Goff, I believe in him. I still believe that he will get this fixed. We'll see what his thumb looks like this week. But the mistakes by him have hurt their football team over the last 6-7 weeks.
Doing too much, mistakes hurting his team. Rex, it's interesting. Kind of reminds me of the guy he went with in the draft class, Carson Wentz, a little bit. What do you think about
Yeah, it really
Goff?
Does. And he's been way too careless with the football. And Dan's point about you got a Super Bowl caliber defense and you're holding them back, it's those turnovers. And look, this kid, he has had moments. But I'll be honest, I think every Ram fan doesn't really care if Jared Goff plays or doesn't play this next week. It can't be worse. I mean, that's kind of how it feels. Like, look, the momentum shifted so much in this game that, you know, they're stopped on turn the ball over on downs on the 1 yard line. They throw the interception in the red zone. I thought the Rams had a chance to win this game but it just didn't happen. You got to get average play at least from a quarterback. And if you do that, they can be dangerous. But right now, Jared Goff's play has been so bad. This team should be one of the teams we talk about as the best teams in the league, and none of us are willing to say that now.
Yeah, so RC, what is this team with Jared Goff to you?
They're a team that's played Super Bowl caliber defense every week but one, and that week's probably in Buffalo early on in the season with a quarterback that you can't win with. And that's just honest. When you look at Jared Goff, and, you know, we saw this in, I think it was year three of him, he kind of came along and he became a guy that you could win because of. We watched him go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes in the primetime game. That was an instant classic. That Jared Goff is gone. I don't know where he is. I don't know if you could find him, but he isn't the guy that's shown up for this team throughout this season. And when you lose to the New York Jets, things become a little bit more glaring. You start to dissect things a little bit more, and you realize that you have a transcendent player on the defensive line. You have a cornerback or a defensive back in Jalen Ramsey that's now played all five positions and played them at an elite level, but you can't win games because your quarterback turns the ball over, and he hasn't been creating big plays for you as well. And if you are turning the football over and not creating big plays, then you're a negative to a good football team. Yes. And that's what Jared Goff is right now.
RC, switch gears for just a second here. Let's talk about Seattle and the Seahawks. What do you see in this team right now? How dangerous are they?
You know what? They're playing more Seattle-like football. Even when they were 7-1 early on in the season and we were talking about letting Russ cook and winning the MVP, it still didn't feel physical. It didn't feel like Pete Carroll the way he wants to win football games. Now this defense has picked up. When you go to that goal line stand and keeping the Rams out of the end zone, the interception by Quandre Diggs, Dunlap now being able, along with Reed, to create pressure on the quarterback in the four-man rush. It looks more like what you're used to now with the physicality with Chris Carson in the backfield. And then you allow Russell Wilson to make the big plays. I believe they're a step below where the Green Bay Packers are and the New Orleans Saints. But this is a team that's going to make some noise in the playoffs. And I don't think you're rushing to play if you're one of the NFC elites.
All right, great point, RC. And we say goodbye to you, by the way, because I know you got to go host First Take. Have a great show,
okay,
my friend. We can't wait to see it.
Okay,
Scott.
My guys, man. Whatever, bro. Bye.
Okay. Gotta love it. Oh, let's take you to the NFC storylines. Tom Brady on Saturday threw 348 yards and four touchdowns against the Lions, all of which came in the first half as Tampa clinched their first playoff berth in 2007. Alvin Kamara ran wild, 155 yards, six touchdowns Friday against the Vikings. That tied an NFL record, those six touchdowns, set in 1929. And then Aaron Rodgers continued to make his MVP case as he threw four touchdowns Sunday night against the Titans as Green Bay cruised 40-14. Here's how the division stacks up right now. Gets very interesting. Three teams have already locked up their respective divisions in the NFC. Washington still a win away from clinching the East. Our analytics give Green Bay an 80% chance to be the number one overall seed. So, Rex, I ask you, can anyone challenge the Packers in Green Bay should they get that home field
advantage? I don't think so. And I'm going to say the reason is because of that run game of the Packers now. So they can do both run and pass, and it's the play of their defense. Their defense, Ryan, has improved by leaps and bounds over the last month of the season, and I think that gives them a huge edge. And also playing at home, big edge. I just think it's a tough out, and I don't think anybody is going into Lambeau and beating the Packers.
Dan, they showed last night how dominant they can be in Lambeau, but they also talked about how tough it is to play in the cold, even for them. I wonder if any team can come in here and take down this team.
Yeah, right. Ain't no one going to Green Bay and beating them. Listen, the NFC playoffs will be about matchups. It will be like a fight, right? Fight. The styles make fights. The only team that I think in the NFC that can go into Green Bay and win would be a team that could be dominant in the run game and dominant on defense. There's only one team in the NFC that has that, at least that DNA. That's the Los Angeles Rams. And if the Los Angeles Rams don't get in and we don't know the health of their quarterback, then the Saints, with their offense, they could play dominant. They could play dominant defense at times, but they don't have the dominant run game. And Drew Brees, is he going to be able to be healthy enough and then really good enough in the pass game? I don't see that. Tampa Bay has just been so roller coastery, and I would believe that Green Bay's defensive front can get after Tampa Bay's offensive line. So nobody, I don't see anybody going in to beat Green Bay. I think that we're going to have what we want, what we all want. We all want in Tampa, we all want Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers. We want the Chiefs versus the Packers, and kind of let the two heavyweights at that, both at that position and football team, knock it out against each other. And they're both playing the best at that position. They're both got coaches that create open pass concepts, that they create chunks in the pass game. And then both are the most two most talented guys at the position. So I don't see anyone going to Green Bay and winning.
All right. So, Rex, if we get what we want, Green Bay, Kansas City, Super Bowl. Are we and the Green Bay Packers looking at the Super Bowl champion?
I think we are. To me, and here's why I say it. Nothing that Kansas City, yes, we get it. They've only lost the one game. They've also won eight games by single-digit scores and all that. So a lot of close games. Now, that is to their credit. But you're not blowing teams out and style points or whatever. I think this team is going like this. We could get excited about
frustrated.
No, but let's get excited about them beating Atlanta in the last seconds of a thing. This team right here, Green Bay's going like this, guys, and I don't care. Look, I don't want them to win either, dude. I mean, the way they butchered that
draft,
I don't even want them to win a playoff game. But my eyes are telling me that I'll take Green Bay. If I had to put one chip in, I'm putting it in on Green Bay.
Okay, Dan, go.
If I got to put a chip in, it's in Kansas City. Like, Rex makes good points. Green Bay looks a lot like Kansas City did last year, right? Their offense was absolutely ridiculous, and then their defense was, like, starting to play better, getting good enough. I have said for 3 months now, I think the Bills are the only team or the best team to knock off the Chiefs, and I will put the Packers into that conversation. But until somebody beats 15 in a meaningful game, I ain't betting against them.
Tell you what, I would really love to see that game. We will see if we get to see it. Meanwhile, there's a good game coming up. Josh Allen and the Bills clinched their first AFC East title in 25 years on Sunday. Next up, locking up the conference's number 2 seed. They look to sweep the Patriots for the first time since the 1999 season when Doug Flutie was the Buffalo quarterback. How about that? Monday Night Football, Bills, Patriots, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ESPN and ABC. ESPN Deportes on our app, and coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6. Now let's talk about a little eye candy with your man Sam Darnold, the Jets. Check this out, because I just, every time I watch it, it just makes me smile. He will not be denied. Why? Because he trucks Malcolm Smith. Dan, what do you think?
Get you some, Sammy D. Sam Darnold's playing for his job now. He's playing for his reputation. He wants people to put some daggum respect on his name. Sam Darnold ran through a linebacker a couple weeks ago in the red zone, and he ran through somebody yesterday. I'm betting on Sam Darnold.
He looked like Josh Allen there.
Dan, I know you got a shout-out. Go, the floor is yours.
Shout-out to the big homies. I got 9-year-old triplet boys at home. Today's your birthday. Madden, Hunter, and Noah, I love you guys. It's a joy to be your dad.
I love it. First day
Happy birthday
right now.